Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of 1 John, chapter number 5. You'll find 1 John near the end of the New Testament. We're turning to 1 John, chapter 5, and we're reading from verse number 11 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 21. While you're looking that up, we welcome you all in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered out with us this evening. Our prayers, the Lord will bless you around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. And do remember, please, the services on the Lord's Day morning here at 12 noon. We belong to bring God's Word, and then the drive-in gospel service at 7 o'clock in the Mart car park. And I pray for these meetings, if at all possible, plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in as well under the sound of God's Word. 1 John chapter 5, beginning a reading at the verse number 11. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and have given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And may God bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. The verses I want us just to look at tonight, before we get down to prayer, verses 14 and 15 there of 1 John chapter 5, where it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, as the Apostle John brings this letter to a close, he gives the Lord's people a wonderful promise regarding prayer. And that promise there is found in our text this evening in verses 14 and 15, where it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. In verse 13 of the chapter there, you see how John speaks to the Lord's people here about their confidence of eternal life. In verse 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And the matter of knowing and having eternal life, it's a great certainty. And then here in verses 14 and 15, our text, he speaks to them here about their confidence and prayer. And this great promise regarding prayer wasn't just for the believers in the day of the Apostle John, but it is indeed for all those who have believed on Christ for salvation. And you see that in the context there of verse 13 of the chapter. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And by the person who has believed on Christ for salvation is one who has repented of their sin, one who has trusted in Christ as Savior, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I believe there's a promise here in our text for you and I tonight, even as God's people here, as we meet in this prayer meeting. As we would look then tonight at this promise here regarding confidence and prayer for God's people, there are three things I want you to note briefly and simply tonight. First of all, notice the meaning of the believer's confidence and prayer. What is the meaning of the believer's confidence and prayer? It's summed up there in three words at the end of verse 14 of the chapter. It simply says, "He heareth us." And by the Lord hearing the prayers of God's people, this is their confidence in prayer. The very fact that God's ear is open to the prayers of the people of God. It says in 1 Peter that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. Indeed, realizing this same great truth, the hymn writer said, "O graciously hear us. Graciously hear us, we pray. Pour from thy windows upon us showers of blessing today." And the hymn writer realized this, that God hears prayer. And this is the believer's confidence in prayer. Why are we met here tonight in this fashion? Because we believe in a God in heaven who hears prayer. Child of God, this is your confidence. Verse 14 says, "He heareth us." David the psalmist spoke of this very same confidence in verse 7 of 2 Samuel 22 when he says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." Now you see the confidence that David had there, even in his time of great distress, that the Lord heard prayer. He heard his cry, he heard his burden, his petition. You turn in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter number 30. Isaiah chapter number 30. And to the verse number 19. You'll see here how the prophet Isaiah as well had this same confidence in prayer, that the Lord hears the prayers of his people. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 19. Look at what Isaiah says in the latter part of the verse. He says of the Lord, "He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." Notice those words there, "when he shall hear it." What a mercy. What a confidence we have tonight in the prayer meeting. Believer in Christ, although God is almighty, although God is eternal, though he is infinitely holy, such is his grace, such is his condescension, such is his mercy, that he hears the prayers of his people. He hears the petitions of the saints of God. There was once a young Christian boy, and he asked others to pray that his unsafe sister would start reading her Bible so that she might get saved. And shortly after making that request, that young boy was to see indeed his sister in his home reading the Bible so that she might come to the knowledge of Christ. And there you see the truth, how God hears prayer and God answers prayer. Yes, we see the meaning here of the believer's confidence in prayer. It is summed up in these three words, "He heareth us." But notice secondly here, notice the ground of the believer's confidence in prayer. And you see that again in verse 14 in particular in those words, "If we ask anything according to his will." If we ask anything according to his will. My, to have confidence in prayer, John is telling us here how we must pray in the will of God. And that was something that Christ himself taught his own disciples in that portion of scripture that we famously know as the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, one of the petitions he set before the disciples was this: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there he was teaching the disciples and telling the disciples the importance of praying in the will of God. And what does it mean then to pray in the will of God? Well, to pray in the will of God means, I believe, most certainly to plead the promises of God's word in prayer. Yes, God's promises are sure because God cannot lie. Therefore, we can plead them in prayer. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 1 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him, amen." God's promises are sure and certain. And believer, when you plead the promise of God before God in prayer, you are praying in the will of God. James chapter 1, verse 5, it says there, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And there you have the promise of divine wisdom. Whenever we pray for it, whenever we ask for it, and how we all need wisdom day by day in all the affairs of life and all the concerns, even in the work of God. But the promise is this, that if we ask for wisdom, God will give us wisdom. Again in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11, and in the verse 13, Christ is speaking, and he says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And there he's speaking to God's people. And there we see the promise of the Holy Spirit's power whenever we pray and ask and seek the Lord for this power. How, if we are to know the power of the Spirit of God in our life and our witness, it's something we must pray for, something that we must ask for, and for the believer, indeed for the church of Christ, to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. The church of Christ, the believer in Christ, is praying in the will of God, because this is something that Christ has taught us to pray in the Word of God. As the hymn writer says, "Thy promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh." And likewise, you and I can venture nigh to God in prayer, depending upon the promises of God in prayer. Yes, to pray in the will of God is to plead the promises of God. And there's many, many promises in the book. Believer, when God gives you a promise and he burdens your heart with that promise, you take that promise to the Lord in prayer. To plead the promise is to pray in the will of God. Also, we can say further, to pray in the will of God is to pray under the guidance, or if you like, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The book of Jude talks about the believer praying in the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27, it says, "Our likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And my, the great work of the Holy Spirit is to guide God's people into all truth. Therefore, whenever you and I come to pray, we should ask God by his Holy Spirit to lead us in prayer. God, by his Holy Spirit, to guide us in prayer. And my, when we're led by the Holy Spirit, we will pray in the will of God. One of the great hymns in our hymn book says, "Holy Spirit, lead us now to the throne of grace and prayer." And my, when we come to pray, even in a prayer meeting, how we should come with that burden in our hearts, that burden in our souls, that God, the Holy Ghost himself, will lead us and guide us and prompt us and burden us to pray in accordance with his will. But we can also say further, to pray in the will of God is to pray in faith. Remember the words of Christ in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 24. Christ says there, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." There Christ talks about God's people praying in faith. To pray in faith means to believe in God's promises that what he has said, he will do. Indeed, it has been said that all the storehouses of God are open to the voice of prayer and faith. And what's the Christian life? It's the life of faith. And all through the scriptures, we're encouraged to pray in faith, not doubting, not wavering. The Bible says we are to beware of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief hinders us in prayer. It takes us away from God and from the blessings that God would have for us in prayer and in our Christian life. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter number 11, or back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and the whole chapter is all about faith, about Christians, God's people, the saints of God, what they accomplished and what they wrought, not through anything of themselves, but by faith in the Lord, the great I Am. Look at verse 6 in particular there of Hebrews chapter 11. I believe it really summarizes the whole chapter. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The Lord, dear believer, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As we come to pray, believe that he is. When you come to pray through Christ, remember this, you're coming face to face with God, God Almighty, God who knows your every need, God who is the great I Am, the God of heaven who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ask or ever think. Oh, believer, as you pray, remember that God is able to do what he said in his word. Yes, we are to pray in faith. But notice finally here in connection with our text, notice the outcome of the believer's confidence in prayer. What is the outcome of the believer's confidence in prayer? Look at verse 15 of the chapter. It says, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." The outcome there surely is one of answered prayer. Yes, the outcome of the believer's confidence in prayer is the fact that God answers prayer. And believer, keep this always before you, that prayer time is not wasted time. The devil, the world, would laugh at prayer and get us to think that the prayer meeting is a waste of time or the private place of prayer is a waste of time. Not a bit of it. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 45 and verse 19. He says, "I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain." In other words, it is no vain thing, no empty thing, no foolish thing to wait upon God in prayer. Believer, the best investment of your time is prayer time. It's time given to prayer, time given to seeking God's face. Also, we can say the assurance that God answers prayer, it is something that I believe gives us strength and gives us courage as the people of God. This very fact that God answers prayer, it strengthens us, it encourages us. It says in the book of Isaiah, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that speaks of being strengthened through prayer. And that's a work that goes on day by day in the life of the believer as they seek God privately in prayer or seek God corporately with God's people in the place of prayer week by week. There's a strengthening of the believer. There's an adding to faith in the life of the believer. Indeed, speaking of prayer, the hymn writer says, "Here may we prove the power of prayer, to strengthen faith and sweeten care, to teach our faint desires to rise and bring all heaven before our eyes." Prayer strengthens us. It gives us fresh courage in the things of God. Turn with me back to Judges chapter 16. Here you have an example of this in the life of Samson. He was nearing the end of his life, but I want you to see here how he prayed that God would strengthen him. And through prayer, he was strengthened. So much so that he slew more of the Philistines in his death than he ever did in his life. Look at Judges chapter 16, verses 28 to 30. "And Samson called," remember he was in bondage, his eyes were gouged out. He had been made a laughingstock by the Philistines. And no doubt there was much hurt, no doubt, to the people of Israel. But it says, "And Samson called upon the Lord." He was still in touch with God. And said, "O Lord God, remember, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon the house, upon which the house stood, and at which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines," and he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell on the lords and upon all the people, that's the Philistines that were therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Notice there where he received strength, and how he received strength was through prayer, through calling upon God. He had been made the sport of the Philistines. He had been bound. His eyes were put out. But are we strengthened by prayer, by waiting upon God and seeking God? Also, we can say further tonight in connection with our text, the assurance that our prayers are answered. It means, dear people, that we will see things accomplished in the work of God. You think back to the 1859 revival, it was preceded by the earnest prayers, petitions of God's people, only a handful of people. You think about the great work that Nehemiah did, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down and seeing reformation amongst the Jewish people in his day. It all began with prayer. Read Nehemiah chapter 1 when you go home. Nehemiah chapter 2 as well. The work all commenced with prayer. He saw much accomplished through prayer. Remember Paul said to the Corinthian church, he says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." They were a help to Paul and others in his missionary journeys by their prayers. And believer in Christ, the best way, I tell you this, that you can help your family, the best way that you can help your friends, can help your church, can help your land, can help God's servants at home and abroad, is by your prayers, by your petitions at the throne of grace. Because it is through prayer that we see things accomplished for God. Also, I believe the assurance here of answered prayer in our text, it leads to joy in the heart of the believer. You think about Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, it speaks of Hannah there praying for a child, and this is what it says about her. It says, "And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." There was sadness there, there was heartache. But what did she do in her need and in her concern? She prayed to the Lord. It says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And what was the outcome? We know God heard her prayer and God gave her Samuel. And verse 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 1 says this, "Her countenance was no more sad." She had joy in the fact that her prayer was answered by God. But even answered prayer will also bring joy to your heart, joy to your soul, and gladness to your spirit as a believer. We can also say further that the assurance here of answered prayer, it leads to the honor of God, leads to the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And whenever our prayers are answered, God's name, God's power, God's attributes, God's word are honored. Yes, one of the best ways that you and I as believers can honor and glorify the Lord is through prayer, through seeking God, through calling upon his name. Think again of the words of our text. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him," that's in Christ, "that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Let us be those who give ourselves to prayer. May these few thoughts be an encouragement to our souls tonight at the throne of grace in prayer.